The way to go. Think about what John looked like running around, dressed in camel's hair and kind of wild looking. Locust and honey. I don't think I want any grasshoppers today, but some people say they're good. I'm not sure. I'm not going to try it. But all kinds of things. He was a bit different. But the vigor and directness today of Mark's gospel is evident from the very beginning. That Mark's gospel is the first gospel, even though it is not in that order in our Bible. And if you know a little bit about things, you know that Mark's gospel was first. And Matthew and Luke used portions of it to write their own. But yet, Matthew is the most Jewish of the gospels, and that is why, whenever the people that in their wisdom putting the things together in order, they put Matthew first. So there you go. Lesson one for today. But Mark gets right down to business. He declares that something has happened. Something has happened. That worldly appearances to the contrary has changed everything. Something's going to change. Everything's happening. It's just moving quickly. A messenger reappears here, appears to us today, crying out in an uncompromising place and pointing towards the future. He says, get ready, people, because it's going to happen. The voice of one crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, to make His path straight. Can that voice break through to you and I today? Is it a voice that you and I are listening for? Is it something that we're prepared for? Are we thinking about that, or are we thinking about other things? You know, there's lots to do today. There's lots of happening all over the place, and I know we've got our minds in other places, and we're always sometimes preoccupied with little things. When we are we preparing for what the Lord has in store for us? Far from a clearly marked path, the situation in the new century today is more like that we are on a five-lane superhighway trying to read the signs in speeding traffic. That very situation could, perhaps, make us ready to hear this voice calling out loud and clear, pointing us to the one who is going to speak and speaks to us most clearly and calls us to take stock. Take a look at who we are and walk in a new way. Someone that asks us to look at ourselves anew and to see if we are actually who we think we are. You see, the symbol of this clarity and newness is as John the Baptist preaches baptism. You see, Jewish baptism in those days was either for the proselytes or for a ritual cleansing. That's what baptism was for in those days. Now here, John's baptism combines the motives. Initiation into a new way, and a baptism of repentance. You've got to confess. You've got to believe. You've got to let go of things of the past and believe. And the voice that calls in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord for that one who is coming is the voice that calls to baptism. To show us in a dramatic action both a clean break and a clean start. Now, baptismal practices among the early Christians showed this dual meaning. The old world was being led behind. Leave it behind. Let go of it. Something new and promising was beginning. But Paul would later develop this and these terms here of a dying to self and rising to Christ. Being buried with Christ in baptism, and raised with Him in newness of life. And he tells us that in the book of Romans, in the 6th chapter. Paul says we've got to die to ourselves and rise new in Christ. A period of study, that time in life whenever we're supposed to learn something. Catechism. How many in here knows what catechism is? Okay. Some of y'all might have taken catechism classes as young people, as youth. Our youth today call that something could be called confirmation. It's a time of learning. It's a time of study. It's a time of getting closer with. But here it says a period of study, a time of purging of the old ways and careful preparation for a new life in Christ Jesus that has taken the form, in our time, of a somewhat tame Lenten observance that shows only the barest remnants of renunciation and reorientation. that those early Christians intended. You know, we don't usually get down that deep now. We kind of brush over it. We don't do the in-depth study that takes years before you can be confirmed. Now we do this thing about 6 or 8 weeks sometimes, and that's supposed to be it. But back then, it was a lifetime of learning. Back then, it was years before you could come to know, and it was a lot of learning. My kids think that I mean when I make them learn a few scripture and some creeds and things like that, and some of them still have trouble. But the thing about it is, some of this stuff we need to know. Some of this stuff we need to have. And not just to know it here, but to know it here. And when we know it here, maybe we'll want to learn more about it. Fred Craddock, is one of his sermons, asked this question. Have you ever heard John preach? You know, there are those, of course, that are among us who seem quite confident that they have heard that voice and that they know exactly what the markers of the path are. There are people out there who say, oh yeah, I've got it. We would all do well to keep in mind that neither John's message nor that of Jesus after him was unambiguous. In other words, it was pretty clear. Not everyone could hear. And many who could hear could not follow. You know, that's the thing about it. Sometimes we hear the message and we know the message, but we're not ready to let go and follow. Some of those who are most sure of the voice and in the way may be those who miss the way of Christ. Because we think we know, but do we truly know? It says, John the Baptist, however, points us towards the one who comes to lead us in His ways, the ways of trust, the ways of peace, and the ways of love. That is a path that you and I can identify with. And it is the way in which Jesus Himself walks and in which He leads us. He walks with us, He leads us, He guides us, He teaches us along the way. It is into this life that you and I are called when at baptism we are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. He marks us. To walk in that way in our time and in every age is to respond to a strange voice and to walk into a new way of life. It is not that John himself did not find this way ambiguous. Oh no, not to mention that he found it difficult. He changed his whole life. But Mark tells us the story right here at the start, that there's one, come in whom we all can trust, and in whose way we are called. And John tells us himself, he says, I'm not even worthy to reach down and undo his sandals. But I'm the forerunner. I'm the one here telling you about him. I'm the one here preparing the way. I'm the one here that's just bringing a message. He says, I'm not worthy, but there's one who's coming, and we can trust in whose way we are called to walk. That is what baptism says. Who knows where they will lead? And you can be sure that the way will always be clear. It's not always going to be a clear path. It's going to be one sometimes that you've got to discern. It's going to be one that you've got to sit down and think about. Is this exactly where God's calling me to be? Is this where God's calling me to serve? Do I continue to need to do this, or do I need to do something else? What is God calling you to do today? But from this day, you belong to Christ, he says. And that is what matters the most, that you are Christ. But from this day, you belong to Christ. Herbert Butterfield wrote a book many years ago called Christian and History. And he says in that book that we are called to hold to Christ and in everything else remain uncommitted. Think about that. If we hold fast to Christ, and everything else in life, we remain uncommitted. We commit our all to Christ, and in doing that, everything else seems to fall into place, is what his book talks about in Christianity and History. If we do what God wants us to do, if we follow him, the rest of our life seems to just fall into place. Yes, there's going to be bumps in the road. Yes, there's going to be things that happen along the way. Yes, there's going to be stuff. But in the midst of it all, we have someone to fall back on. And it's the way that we need to go. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us, that you've allowed us to come into this place, that you've allowed us to be here, to serve you, to listen, to share. We ask, Lord, that your grace and mercy continue to fall upon us, not only this day, but every day. Remind us of your goodness. Remind us of all that you have given us. For it is in your Son's name we do pray. Amen.